1.6 seconds.
They have one man back, and that's Brown. Boyd's going to go ahead with quick hands. McTavish will have to nullify it.
Here it is. The waiting is over. The New York Rangers are the Stanley Cup champions. And this one will last a lifetime.
That was the great Sam Rosen on his 1994 Rangers winning the cup call. Obviously, the last time the Rangers have won the Stanley Cup. And we welcome you inside this week's edition of the NYR Zone podcast. I'm Dom Runa, joined by Kevin DeLurie, who joins me as we preview what to expect from this round one series, as well as make some predictions for the other teams that are going on out there. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Good, man, good. Appreciate you having me on, and let's hope that we can get a replication of that call from Mr. Rosen in some point in June.
Hope so. Must be on the radio, though, because, you know, NBC runs everything.
That is true.
All right, so let's take a quick look at the first-round matchups. Everything is set, obviously, as the regular season ended last night. We've known for about a few days now that the Rangers will be playing the Montreal Canadiens in round one. Some other interesting series we see out there. You have the Penguins and Blue Jackets. Caps and the Maple Leafs will face off. Maple Leafs making the playoffs for the first time since 2013, or as Steve Dangle says, 2004, if you follow his LFRs. Then you have Boston, Ottawa in the West, Chicago, Nashville, that should be interesting. Minnesota, St. Louis, Anaheim, Calgary, and Edmonton making the playoffs for the first time in a long time against the reigning Western Conference champs, the San Jose Sharks. So let's look at the Rangers and Montreal series before anything begins. Kevin, this team went 0-2-1 in three games, three completely different games. One where they were leading, blew that lead late after Ronta got hurt. Another which went to a shootout, and one where they just didn't completely were out of it. How do you see this team matching up against the Habs?
You know, it's funny. The whole season we've been, for most of the season, we've been begging for the Rangers to stay in that first wild card. We want to stay away from Washington. We want to stay away from Pittsburgh and the Blue Jackets. And we run into Montreal, the team we cannot beat, against Carey Price, the team, the goaltender who always dominates us, in the House of Horrors where the Rangers can't win. So I'm not really sure, you know, why we were hoping for this matchup, but, you know, here we are. You know, the playoffs is a whole nother level, a whole nother atmosphere, and obviously the Rangers you know, won some games against Montreal back in 2014 during the run to the Cup. You know, there was no Carey Price, and I'm sure that storyline is going to be front and center over the next 2 weeks or so with the Kreider incident, you know, into Carey Price and how that translates into this series. So I'm really excited because there was such, you know, if you remember, and I was thinking about it today, there was so much bad blood in that series 2 years ago, you know, between what happened with Kreider and Price, and then the hit from Prust on Stepan.
Right.
And, you know, and if you remember, they had the whole thing with the coach, Therrien. And yelling at Seether, who was watching practice. You remember that? So there was a lot going on in that series. So, you know, I expect a lot of that sort of bad blood to sort of boil up again. So I'm real fired up for this series. Now, you know, the Rangers have, you know, some advantages and disadvantages, I guess, like any team in any series. But, you know, at the forefront of their advantage, I think of the forwards.
Definitely.
You know, they're... The depth that they have from, you know, 1 through 12, I think, is vastly superior than what Montreal is going to be offering.
Well, you kind of went into it, Carey Price. Let's take a look at what's probably the biggest key to this series or any series that the Rangers are going to play or any team is going to play down the line in the Stanley Cup playoffs is goaltending. So much of it, as we've seen over the last few years, comes down to making that extra save every now and then. And the Rangers have been fortunate to have a guy named Henrik Lundqvist on their side for the last 11, 12 years. And the Canadiens have one of the best, if not the best, in Carey Price. And if you look at the numbers, Carey Price, another outstanding season after an injury-plagued season last year. We didn't see much time. Going 37-20-5 with a 2.23 goals against and a .923 save percentage. So numbers are pretty good for Lundqvist. A record's good, 31-20-4. But in terms of goals against save percentage, some of the worst numbers he's put up in his career, 2.78 and a .910 save percentage. And the Rangers are only going to go as far as Henrik Lundqvist can take them. And we've been saying that for a long time, but this team feels a little bit different because they do have that added scoring bounce they did not have in the year in years prior to this postseason.
Yeah, you know, with Lundqvist, it's been such a strange year for him. There's been a lot of sort of stops and starts to his season, whether it's injuries or when Vigneault went with Ronta for a little bit and actually was sort of healthy scratching Lundqvist and he wasn't getting the starts there. So he hasn't had his a good flow this year where he could sort of get into a rhythm. I do expect him to have a very big series. And the reason I think that is I think that he's going to feel a little disrespected going into this series. I think that as you were talking about, you know, Carey Price is the best goalie in the league and he owns the Rangers and, you know, this is his series to sort of shine. And there you have, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, with his 30 wins every year of his career and, everything he's done for the Rangers. And I think he may just be feeling, a little disrespected that he's not getting, some of the accolades he may deserve or that he's not being put on the same sort of platform as Carey Price in this series. So, you know, I think he has a little bit to prove when the puck drops in game one on Wednesday. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Lundqvist last five games, 1-2-2, 16 goals against, 3.14 goals against average, and 89% save percentage. Not the Lundqvist numbers we're used to seeing, but I honestly throw the last five games out of the window. Maybe the last four. The Rangers have been in the playoffs for that long, playing the B team, as we've heard so much. So those are kind of interesting to look there. Now, one other key that we're going to have to look at with Lundqvist is who the hell is playing in front of him. Rangers have about eight healthy defensemen. Now, we know we're not going to see Clendenning. You know you're not going to see Kampfer. But you still have about seven defensemen to choose from there. And McDonough obviously is going to play. Girardi, Holden, Staal, Smith, who I think is a given, and Shea, who I also think is a given after the year he's put up. So it's really going to come down between Girardi and Klein. Just thinking the way Alain Vigneault thinks around, I know they've liked how Holden's played for the most part this year. So it's really going to come between those two aging veterans and Klein and Girardi, who bring a little bit of a different aspect to this team. Girardi's more of the puck-blocking defenseman, lead-by-example type thing, as is Klein. But I feel like Klein, as we saw, I think, the other against Washington, Klein, when he gets down a block of shots, sometimes he puts it in his own net.
Yeah, that always seems to be a problem with this Rangers team. Just get out of the way. If Lundqvist, I know we were saying Lundqvist has struggled a little bit this year, but if he sees the puck, he's probably going to save it. So I don't get the mentality sometimes with the Rangers defense. I don't know if they forget that Lundqvist is behind them sometimes or what it is, but they need to stay out of the way, I think. But you know, I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit on the two guys that I think it's between for the final defensive spot. I think it's going to be between Klein and Holden. I just think that Girardi is an AV guy. Like, I think he's going to be in the lineup. He has a soft spot for Girardi, whatever it is. I think his spot is a given. That's just my opinion on it. And I think that Klein is going to win out, at least initially, to get in game one. For the same reason I give for Girardi is AV is sometimes loyal to a fault with his sort of veteran guys that have been through who've been in the trenches with him in the past. So as bad as Klein has been this year, and especially recently since he's been off come off the disabled list. I think he's going to start the series with Klein in there. I think Holden, who you know, has struggled mightily himself recently, but he did have a nice start to his Rangers career, and he scored a bunch of goals there. I think they start with Klein over Holden. That'll probably change. I think you may see a couple of different variations on defense because, you know, the bottom of the defense, the bottom three guys are just they've struggled this season. And, you know, I don't think there's any chance Clendenning gets in a game because I just don't think AV likes him very much and what he brings to the table. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Kampfer at some point, you know.
Good point.
AV has strangely praised him in all his starts this year. And he was surprisingly solid. It's not like he didn't deserve the praise, but he sort of made it a point to point out his game and his successes on the ice. So I wouldn't be completely shocked if we saw Kampfer at some point.
Hey, some may argue that when they recalled Tanner Glass and Stephen Kampfer, that was a turning point in the latter part of the season. Going back to that whole Holden, Klein, and Girardi debate, I do agree with you there. I do think it might be, you brought up some good points there with Holden. Watching the last week or so with Holden now, it's been a nice, I hate to say this about a player. A player has done so much throughout very limited time that he's been there in the regular season. But the defense looked a little bit better with that, with Holden out of there at times. But then you have Holden come back last night, and he and McDonough play both a solid game. So it's going to be an interesting decision with what Alain Vigneault goes with. And it definitely would not surprise me if Klein does start there. Now, going back off, to piggyback off the point with Glass and Kampfer, there's a very interesting debate going out there. Who is in? Is it Tanner Glass, or is it Pavel Buchnevich? Now, before I give you who I think is going to be in there, let's just get this, you know, out there. Both players have played well for the role that they've been in this season. Glass obviously joined the team in the latter part of the season, and Buchnevich has missed the majority of the season. But both players have done well, especially Buchnevich, a young kid coming over from Russia who had to learn the language over the summer. He's done a good job. I know he doesn't have the numbers that Vizi has. Well, Vizi's played more games, and Vizi, he's kind of slipped off a little bit. But Buchnevich has done a good job. And Tanner Glass, I think, is going to get the nod, at least to start in this series, only because of who they're playing.
You couldn't wait to bring up Tanner Glass, could you?
Honestly, the debates I've been reading on Twitter the last week and a half, it's something I feel like I've been addressing in this podcast for the last 6 weeks.
You know, I've been thinking about this more than I probably should have.
Exactly.
And who should be getting the sort of 12th forward spot? It's amazing that this is like the biggest debate raging, you know, in the Twitterverse and between Ranger fans, is who's that 12th forward going to be. And actually, it is a big decision, amazingly enough, that you're talking about the final sort of guy in the lineup. But, you know, the way I'm looking at it now, and we saw some of the lines today were announced from Montreal, at least what were in practice, and you saw Ott was in there, and you saw King was in there, and I think that AV actually should go the opposite of what you think he would do when Julian is going to put in his heavier lineup. I think that they should go speed and see if they could skate around these bigger bodies. I think the Rangers are a finesse team, and putting one guy in there like Tanner Glass doesn't change that. You know, physicality is not in the Rangers' DNA. And you know, they revamped the forwards in the offseason to get them fast so they can have a quick transition game. And for them to get away from that when they're in the postseason, I mean, this is the group of forwards that they built. This is what they built it for. And for them to then get away from it, I think would be a mistake. I think that they can skate around and skate past and skate through these guys if they go with the bigger lineup. And it's sort of the way that I like to see them go. You know, I appreciate what, you know, Tanner Glass brings, and he does bring a little bit of that grit and that grinding presence, but he's just not good enough of a hockey player to be in the lineup in game one, you know, of the playoffs. So I'd like to see him go with the more skilled lineup. Now, the problem with going that way is that you now have to put VC or Buchnevich on the fourth line, which obviously isn't ideal. And to me, in the perfect world, and this would never happen, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, is I'd like to see him move Grabner back down to the fourth line, back to the fourth line, where he should have been, you know, all along. You know, unfortunately, and I don't blame AV for doing it, I mean, he caught sort of lightning in a bottle, you know, with Grabner this year, and you know, he's almost ends up almost being a 30-goal scorer this year, but, you know, he's back to his old ways and the player he's been throughout his career where he hasn't been able to finish. I mean, you know, we sort of were dealing with sort of some fool's gold, I think, earlier in the year with all this scoring, and he's sort of back to the player that he's always been. So, you know, I think that the team is much better balanced with Grabner on the fourth line with Lindberg and Foss, and then you could put Buchnevich and VC in the top nine. And I think that that is – it'll never happen, but I think that would be their ideal and best lineup going into the series.
You'll probably see Stepan Kreider and Zuccarello, as you've seen all season. Nash, Zibanejad, and I'm honestly going to go with VZ there from the way VZ and Nash played against Pittsburgh the other night, last night. Then you'll definitely see Grabner, Hayes, and Miller. That line's just been too good for the Rangers this season for AV to break it up. Even though Grabner has been struggling, and obviously it'll either be Buchnevich, Glass, then you have Lindberg and Foss. And Jesper Foss is going to play a big role in this series, especially considering the fact that he is one of the key penalty killers, and that has been a problem for this team for the last 3 weeks. Maybe not even 3 weeks, probably around the midway point, because there was a time this season where the Rangers' penalty kill was top 10, as well as the power play. But as of late, it has not, and we all know in the playoffs, when power plays are at a premium, you get a power play goal, that could be the difference, and the Rangers' penalty kill has not been getting jobbed up lately.
Yeah, and what makes it all the more scary is that they have Weber looming from the point and his vicious slap shot. So, you know, they're going to have to come up with some kind of plan to, I don't know if you could shut him off, but at least try to limit his touches on the power play. You know, what I'm hoping can happen is that, you know, Grabner and his speed, and obviously he's able to bring a little bit of offense on the penalty kill, where maybe Montreal gets a little bit concerned about giving up that shorthanded breakaway from Grabner, and maybe Weber is thinking a little bit more defensively on the power play. I'm trying to think of strategies that the Rangers could have to try to minimize Weber, because he's going to get his shots on the power play. But if he maybe has in the back of his head that, you know, if I don't make a good play with the puck here, it could be going the other way, you know, maybe that can make him a little bit more conservative with shooting the puck on the power play, which would be huge for the Rangers and their penalty kill. Because like you had mentioned earlier in the year, I mean, they were almost more potent offensively on the penalty kill than they were on the power play. I mean, they were scoring shorthand the goals left and right, or at least had, you know, a number of scoring chances while being manned down. So if they can sort of find that groove again, that would be so beneficial. Not only are they obviously generating scoring chances, but I think it may end up ultimately limiting what Montreal does on the power play.
Now, the penalty, like we said, power play is going to be huge. Rangers' power play, it has been heating up over the last few weeks, so that's a good sign going into the playoffs. Derek Stepan has picked up his play over the last few weeks. Another 50-point season for him. Outstanding, as always, even though he did have that 20-game stretch, maybe even more than 20-game stretch, where he just couldn't put the puck in the back of the net. And one of the bigger advantages that the Rangers have is their depth at the center ice position, and that's going to be a really big key for the Rangers, especially considering the fact that you lost a huge guy who always stepped up in the playoffs in Derek Brassard to someone who doesn't have as much experience as a Brassard does in Zibanejad. So it's going to be interesting to see how they replace that offense for him. Now, Zibanejad's picked things up lately after his injury. Kevin Hayes has had a great rebound season. So up the middle is going to be a very big test for this team.
Yeah, that's a great point with Zibanejad. I mean, this is sort of going to be his time to shine. I mean, he had a really nice start to the season. You know, he broke his leg, unfortunately, and he really hasn't been the same player since coming back. He's been better lately. He's been coming on a little bit more. You can see he's finally sort of, he's finding his game, which is coming at the right time now. But, yeah, he's going to be counted on to produce here in the way that Brassard did. Yeah, he was everything that Nash isn't in the playoffs. And I hate to take that shot at Nash, but
that's another thing though. But he's going to have to step up too. I mean, he's been getting hot towards the end of the season. He had a stretch 4 goals in 4 games. They're going to need more from him too. He knows it too. You hear in all the interviews from that apparently NBC does that he, you know, with Pierre McGuire and Guy Boucher, or that might even be the coach of the Senators. I don't even know if I'm right there, but they always say Nash knows he needs to get the job done. He gets paid to score goals.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a big X factor in this series because I really liked his game this year. This was to me his. I know he's had better scoring years as a Ranger, but I really think this was his most complete year, where he was driving to the net more. He wasn't afraid to take it to the cage, whereas in the past, you know, he was more of a perimeter guy the last couple of seasons. And I know that may have had a lot to do with some of the concussions that he had earlier in his Rangers career. But he's really been dominant with the puck this year, strong on the puck. You know, like I said, taking to the net and sort of creating offense on his own. And that's, you know, and that'll do him well, I think, in the playoffs if he can stay with that aggressive mentality in the offensive end. I think he'll finally be able to break through. You know, and he had a decent postseason last year against Pittsburgh, but it was so quick, and that series was just a tough series all around for the Rangers. But I think that I think this is going to be a breakout postseason for him.
Nash's playoffs numbers have gotten better every year that he's been in the playoffs. And I was watching before the Maple Leaf Penguin game came on last Saturday night on NHL Network. They had Sportsnet on there talking about Freddie Anderson, and they were talking about how his numbers got better every year as well. And it just has something to learn the playoffs. The playoffs is a different game than the regular season, as much as you don't want to say it, it really is. And it takes time to learn. Nash is going to be here about 4 or 5 years now, and it's going to be time for him to step up. And I've defended him in the past in the playoffs, but this year it's time for him to step up. So he's step up, and so does the defense for this Rangers team. There's been some zone issues as of late, open men, a couple of odd man rushes lately. They were non-existent on Saturday against Ottawa. Now, obviously, you had a bunch of B-team players playing in Ottawa, but you have to give Lundqvist a chance, and that's going to be one of the big keys to this series. And before you, throw that point over to you, I'll just give my prediction really quick before we move on from Rangers-Habs. Rangers in 7. It shouldn't go 7, but Price and Lundqvist are the reason why I'm saying it's going to go 7. It'll be a tough series, but honestly, I think the Rangers are the better team, and they will beat them in 7 games. Now, up to you, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, Rangers in 7, and the reason I say 7 is because the Rangers always go 7 games in the postseason.
That too.
They can't win a series in the postseason without going 7 games.
And, yeah.
You know, giving us Ranger fans,
We were lucky in 2014. We were lucky then with that six-game series.
I put the owners of the liquor store down the street. I put their kids through college during the postseason. So, I think that this is a great matchup, a great series. You know, like I had mentioned earlier, there's some bad blood, some history here. Obviously, being original six history, but also sort of recent playoff history. and I'm really looking forward to it. I think the Rangers ultimately are the better team. They have the depth at forward. Like you were mentioning with the defense, I mean, there are some issues there, but I think if AV can lean on, you know, McDonough, Shea, and Smith, you know, and limit and shelter Girardi, Staal, and whether it's Kline or Holden, and try not to get them out there too often against the top six, because, I mean, most likely Girardi is going to be paired up with McDonough. But I think that you may see AV switch it up a little bit in game, where maybe Shea gets a couple of runs with McDonough if he's seeing that Girardi can't handle the speed and offensive ability of Pacioretty or Radulov and, you know, those kind of players. So I think that AV can limit the damage or limit the exposure of some of the bottom three defense and lean on, you know, giving 25 minutes plus if he has to McDonough and Shea and Smith and lean on those guys. And, you know, Lundqvist is Lundqvist. He's going to, you know, he's proven, you know, he can carry the team in the postseason. We've seen it before. And, you know, they're gonna need it again, especially when he's going against a goalie as good as Price. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great series, but the Rangers ultimately come out on top.
Now let's, before we head on to our round one predictions real quick, is there any teams out there that you think have disappointed, that have not made the playoffs, that should have?
Oh, you know, I the Islanders, you know, I think that that they probably took a little too long to fire Capuano. You know, you saw how well they played when you know, they brought in Dougie Waite. And good for him. You know, I don't like to see the Islanders do well. But, you know, a former Ranger, you like to see him doing well. And, you know, the Islanders probably would have been you know, I don't know how long Tavares may have been out for, but, you know, they were playing well down the stretch there. If they would have snuck in, they may have been a bit of a dangerous team. And, you know, they were a team after, you know, making it to the second round last year, I'm sure had higher expectations. You know, another team that's, you know, in the East and the West, you know, the Kings, you know, they're missing the playoffs. Yeah, again, and what they fired Sutter tonight and the GM.
Lombardi and Sutter both fired.
Yeah, which is very surprising. I mean, you know, they didn't have Quick for almost all of the entire season.
And they were still in it too.
Yeah, and they were in it. And
8 points back.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really follow them that much, but, you know, apparently they had some real bad shooting luck this year as well. Mm-hmm. You know, offensively, but yeah, a bit surprising, considering, you know, you didn't, you know, think about if Vigneault doesn't have, you know, Lundqvist all year, you know,
hey, some fans would be happy about that.
Well,
get their King Ronta for a little bit.
That's right. I guess it's a bad choice there with the Rangers, since we saw it with Talbot sort of filled in well and Ronta, but, you know, when your backup, you know, all year, you know, is a guy they pulled out of the AHL, you know, and you still were in the hunt, you know, you'd think they'd give him another year, but, you know, what can you do? But, yeah, that's a little disappointing that they didn't get in this year, the Kings.
For me, I have two teams from the East and the West, and Tampa Bay, they're really I was very shocked that they weren't in it. They also had a bad start, like the Islanders did, too. As did the Florida Panthers, and, you know, a lot has changed in Florida, too. They're going to go through two coaches in 1 year because Tim Rowe is not coming back. So those are my two teams from the East and the West. I've had L.A. disappointing as well. And how about Dallas? Dallas, they had a nice playoff run last year. Lindy Ruff let go, found out yesterday that he won't be back coaching Dallas next year. So that was an interesting one, too. Obviously, goaltending is a problem there. And speaking of goaltending, how about Cam Talbot? Congratulations to Cam Talbot. Probably will be one of the Vezina finalists, if not win the Vezina. Put on an absolute great season for the Oilers. One of the big reasons as to why they are in the playoffs.
Talbot, he played like 72 games this year or something.
He pulled a whoopee.
It's crazy. You just wonder if he has anything left for the postseason. I mean, I guess you got to ride him, but wow, I mean, that's a lot of games for a guy who's never, you know, his second real season as the starter. Yeah. And he didn't really even start all that much last year because he struggled a bit in his first season in Edmonton.
I think large part of that was Gustafson got hurt earlier in the year. So Talbot had no real solid backup, and they had to go with Talbot all year. And that's just supposed to show you how lucky the Rangers are to have a great backup in Antti Raanta.
Yeah, and like you said, I think there's I think it's more of the sort of loud minority, but there's plenty of Ranger fans that would like to see who think Raanta should probably be starting the series. And you know, that it would be interesting, you know, and I said before I expect Lundqvist to have a big series, but if he struggles in the first two games where, you know, and the Rangers are down 0-2 and say he's given up, you know, maybe he's pulled in a game and gives up five goals in another game, you wonder if AV goes to Raanta, you know, in a game three, you know, and while plenty of people will call it a panic move, I mean, yeah, I think that is a situation that would may call for a panic move. Down 0-2, Lundqvist, who has had a very uneven year, not playing well, I think he almost has no choice at that point. I mean, you saw it a couple of years ago with the Blackhawks during their one run in their first series. I think it was against Nashville. And Crawford had a real tough series, and they ended up going with Darling over Crawford for the remainder of the series, and he was the reason they actually won. And when they started the second round, they went right back to Crawford. So you wonder if that could play out for the Rangers in this series. That would be something.
Yeah, you have to do what you have to do to get that to move on, to get that trophy. But yeah, so let's move on to our first round predictions. Obviously, we both agree Rangers in seven, Rangers Habs. I have Boston beating Ottawa in six games. What do you any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like Boston as well. They're hot. The Senators are a little banged up going into the postseason. Carlson's a little banged up. Bobby Ryan's a little banged up. Mithot, who got his finger almost severed off by Crosby.
That was an interesting week for Crosby.
I like the Bruins coming in. Rask is hot as well. And, you know, like you mentioned, goaltending sort of rules in the playoffs. So, yeah, I like the Bruins and, six.
Now over to the Metro side of the Eastern Conference bracket. Toronto's had a great season with all these young kids, but ultimately I won't be surprised if they get swept, or even if they get a game, I have Washington beating them in five.
You know what? I think that this series will be a lot closer. I think that the Maple Leafs are probably the worst team for the Capitals to face because they're going to come in there sort of fast and loose, you know, a bunch of young kids with nothing to lose. And I think the Capitals, and we all know of their playoff failures, may feel it a little bit of the pressure with the Maple Leafs coming in. And, you know, the Maple Leafs aren't expected to do anything in this series, and Austin Matthews is going to try to go out there and put on a show. And, you know, if Anderson gets hot, you know, I think the Capitals ultimately win, but I think this series may go six games.
Now, looking at the next matchup, this might be the best matchup in the entire first round, the Penguins and the Blue Jackets. Very interesting storyline here. Obviously, Mike Sullivan took over for the Penguins last year midseason, won the Cup facing his former friend, or probably still friends, but former co-worker, John Tortorella. Sullivan was Tortorella's associate coach when Tortorella was in New York. Ultimately, I think the defending champs will prevail in that one. Columbus still has a young team, and you never count out Crosby. And you never know if Fleury struggles. I don't even know who they're starting in net. But if Fleury struggles, you throw Murray in there. Murray struggles, you throw Fleury in there. We all saw how good Murray was last postseason. I have Pens beating the Blue Jackets in six.
Yeah, these two teams do not like each other at all. The best matchup within this matchup is going to be Dubinsky versus Crosby, because those two hate each other. And I don't think I enjoy watching, you know, any, you know, one-on-one matchup more than those two going at each other. There's such, like, a disrespect for Crosby by Dubinsky. I just completely love it. He plays him so hard and so physical. It's fantastic. I'm going to pull an upset here. I'm going to say the Blue Jackets behind Bobrovsky, who finds his sort of Vezina-caliber play in this series, and they beat the defending Stanley Cup champs in seven games.
Ooh, that'd be fun to see. There's the fan coming out of you there. Over in the West, Chicago-Nashville is going to be another good series. Chicago has been on a roll as of late the last few weeks. You can never count them out of a series with the players they have and the championship mentality they have. I have Chicago ultimately beating Nashville in six games.
Yeah, I there's too much talent in Chicago. I see them taking it down in five.
Minnesota, St. Louis. St. Louis had a very interesting season. Out of the playoffs, fire Ken Hitchcock, let Mike Yeo take over a few games earlier than what they were expecting. Then they trade Shattenkirk, and they find themselves in third place in the division against Minnesota, who's had a great season up until the last few weeks. Ultimately, I think Minnesota will come out despite their struggles, despite Dubnyk's struggles. I think that will go 6-2. I think a lot of these series are gonna go past five games. The matchups this year and with all the teams are playing this year, I think they're really good. And the NHL is going to have a great postseason this year. I'm going to put that out there right now, even though they usually have one every year. This might be one of the better ones we've seen. I have Minnesota beating St. Louis in six.
Yeah, despite Dubnyk's struggles, the Blues are real questionable in goal as well. Unfortunately, the Wild have got some nice contributions from Staal, who the Rangers completely mismanaged when they traded for him last year. So, yeah, I think the Wild come on top in six games.
Ducks Flames. Flames caught on towards around the trade deadline, winning 10 games in a row. Ducks won the division for, I believe, the fifth consecutive season. This was the one on top in the air. I flipped a coin for this one. Ducks and seven. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Ducks. I like Getzlaf. I think they're better in goal. Fowler got hurt the other day, though, right? Is he out?
I haven't heard anything.
I think he got hurt the other day by a Flames player in like the last game of the second to last game of the season. So I think his status is in doubt. I thought I read that somewhere. But having said that, I think that I agree with you. I think the Ducks are the better team here, and in six.
Our friend Cam Talbot and the Edmonton Oilers against the San Jose Sharks, who have really struggled towards the end of the season. Sharks have too many questions on the injury front. Now, they were the defending Western Conference champs last season, but those injuries, we don't know too much about them. Will Thornton play? Will Couturier play? Ultimately, due to that, I have the Oilers advancing in six games just because of Martin Jones and Brent Burns.
Yeah, I like the Oilers as well. A young, exciting team. I'd like to see them advance. I'd like to see them stay in it as much as possible. McDavid, you want to keep him in the postseason as much as possible.
Season for the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, just
20 years old.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And it's unfortunate. We don't really get to see him too often. I mean, at least I don't. I'm on TV here in New York as often as I'd probably like to see him. So it'd be nice to get maybe a couple of rounds out of that team. It definitely would be nice to see Talbot do well in the postseason. So, yeah, I'm going to say Oilers. I think it'll be a little easier than maybe people think at five games.
So those are our round one predictions. Let's just fast forward to, because obviously it doesn't make sense to go through all those, I'll make more predictions from the ones we've made. That's for the bracket challenge, which the NHL has had a lot of problems with today. I want to put that out there. Could not get on there, could not submit one, and I'm very frustrated about that. But I printed my own bracket out, have everything picked. I have Washington beating the Blackhawks in seven games to win their first cup, getting past the Rangers in six in the East, and Chicago getting past the Ducks in six. Who's your champion?
Man. I think that the East is just so wide open. I know the Capitals dominate another regular season. I just never, ever trust them.
Exactly.
In the
They're due, though. That's the way I'm looking at it. They're due.
It's true, you know. I think if the Rangers can get past the Canadians, I think they have a nice road to the Stanley Cup final. So I'm actually gonna go with the Rangers. I know this is
there you go.
I know this is complete homerism here, you know.
Hey, it's a Rangers podcast. Remember that. I'm going against the wisdom here.
Yeah, I think that if they can get past the Canadians the next round, I think will be, you know, a little bit easier for them. And whoever comes out of that Metro bracket is going to be completely beat up. They're sort of going to be like the Rangers were in 2012 when they faced the Devils, when Tortorella completely burned the team out, and they just had nothing left of the Devils. But so I think that you'll see the Rangers come out of the East, and coming out of the West, I can never go against the Blackhawks. They're just too good year after year. So we'll have a nice little original six Stanley Cup final. If I'm going to put the Rangers in the final, I might as well pick them to win it. So
exactly. You know what? Honestly, what you're thinking is not wrong at all. And the Rangers have had their way with the Western Conference this year. So it really wouldn't surprise me if we do see them in there. And the point with whoever comes out of the Metro bracket will be beat up. That's spot on as well. One team that I feel like, and maybe a lot of people are talking about it, but a lot of people in the Ranger community that aren't worried about them per se is the Boston Bruins. I think the Bruins are a team to watch and can be the big underdog this postseason.
Yeah, it's funny, and they got criticized when they let go Julian. As you know, they can't believe it. And they've been a much better team, obviously, since making that move. The organization knew what it was doing, and I'm sure that wasn't an easy decision to come by, but
Especially what happened next.
Yeah, exactly. When you see him go to your number one rival, I'm sure it wasn't a fun feeling within the organization for those couple of days there, but you know, it's definitely worked out for them. It's looked like it's working out for the Canadians as well, but yeah, they're on a roll. Rask has been very good as well, like I mentioned. And, you know, Chara is always going to be there. Marchand is, like, one of my favorite non-Ranger players. I know, because you hate him so much, but if he was on the Rangers, he's Sean Avery. You know, he's the Sean Avery. I mean, he's better than Avery, obviously, skill-wise. But he's that kind of player who can get under your skin and then go out and score the game-winning goal on you. So he is, and his game is perfect for the playoffs where he's sort of that grinding presence out there. I think that the Bruins, they're definitely, if the Rangers can advance and they do end up playing the Bruins, that'll be a fun series as well. Hey, maybe the Rangers can go original six all the way to
the
finals.
Right?
Yeah. Maple Leafs come out of the Metro. That'd be something.
Tukaras, not a bad goaltender either. We have the round one schedule came out last night in bits and pieces. Just watching some of the beat writers report on it, no one knew what it was until the Rangers released it a little after 1 a.m. Game one is this Wednesday, April 12th in Montreal. And kind of weird, first four games all start at 7 p.m., where it's either 8-ish or the weekend ones are in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday and Friday in Montreal at 7, Easter Sunday at 7 p.m., and game four is Tuesday at the Garden, 7 p.m. Game five, the 20th. Game six, if needed, 22nd. And game seven, which hopefully they don't need because I can't watch game seven, on the 24th. Yeah, schedule sucks every now and then. Kevin, real quickly, I'm sure everyone's wondering, what got you back at the New York Rangers blog?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's sort of timing is everything in life, you know. You know, Neil, who had taken over the New York Rangers blog when I sort of moved on, decided he was going to move on. It sort of around the same time that I had come back with the other blog that I started, the Broadway Boo Shirts blog, and the blog network that hosts it sort of asked me if I wanted to come back. And, you know, it's sort of hard, it's almost impossible not to take them up on the opportunity to go back to the blog that I started one day, you know, in my in my office one day, just sat down and was like, I'm going to start a blog. And, you know, and was able to build it up into what it is today. And to have the ability to go back and run it again was something, you know, I couldn't turn down.
Well, we're glad you're back. I want to take this time, thank everyone out there who listens, who voted for the NYR Zone profile picture for the playoffs. Want to thank the man who made the logo, who does a great job. He's been in charge of making all of the logos for the page, Patrick Jungulas. I hope I said your name right, Pat. He runs a Rangers edits page where you can find great edits. I'll pull it up in one moment so I can give you guys that so you can look at it. At NYR_edits3036. The Stanley Cup playoffs start on Wednesday at 7:00 in Montreal. Stay tuned to NYR Zone tomorrow for line updates for the potential lineup that we'll see in Game 1. Will Tanner Glass get in? Will Pavel Buchnevich get in? Who is going to play on defense? Is it going to be Girardi, Holden, Klein? So many questions, so many answers that will hopefully come tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Next podcast will come at the conclusion of this first round matchup. Hopefully the Rangers will move on and we'll have more Rangers talk to talk about, and hopefully Kevin will join us again.
Absolutely. Anytime you want to have me on, I'm always willing to talk Rangers hockey.
Thanks, Kevin, for joining us, and thank you all for listening. Go Rangers, let's get that cup.